relationships, sex, passion. With Dr. Lori Petito. Hear the show live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD 800.
Welcome to Passion, a show about love, sex, and relationships. Tonight, we explore the different ways people express their passion for sex. Why? Because once a month, we talk about alternative sexuality. And we're talking about BDSM, but that's part of it. Actually, we should, you know, we often get into different parts of it, bondage, discipline, submission, dominance, masochism, all of that stuff. It basically, kinky sex is talking about things that are outside a bit of the norm. And I say a bit because for some people, it's not so far off the norm. And for some, it's a lot off the norm. So my guests tonight, they join me every month. And I'm always delighted to have them on the air. Pierre and Catherine, welcome back.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
I'm very well, thank you. Close to the holidays, always nice. Always a nice time of year. Catherine and Pierre run the BDSMCircle.com website, which is chock full of valuable information for anyone venturing into the world of kink or BDSM. Everything you want to know is there from a valuable source, because I think that's important too. You got to know where to get your information from. That's just like sex information. If you don't know your source, you could believe anything.
Definitely. That's a problem actually, because many people will get any type of information from the internet and believe like, okay, this is the truth. This is the Bible. And often it's not. I mean, you talk to young adult. Mm-hmm. We still have problem with the young adult, you know, the bareback situation where they don't use protection.
Condoms, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when you ask them why, they usually tell you some very wild story that, you know, oh, they cannot get pregnant because of, and I mean, sky is the limit here.
Oh, yeah. There's all kinds of myths. And yes, I do talk about that quite a bit. I want to open up the phone lines for people who might have questions for you about fetishes. Last night, actually, during our Trouble Tuesdays, we did get a couple of text messages about foot fetishes. So we'll talk about that as well, because we don't just talk BDSM. We do talk other kink and things that are just non-vanilla. So non-vanilla sex. Vanilla sex meaning, I'm not even sure what that means anymore, to tell you the truth. But, you know, your average sex. I'm not quite sure, but nothing off the beaten track somehow, you know. I don't know.
Well, vanilla would be what is considered normal. And you're right. Now the normal,
I don't use that word ever. I have to say, Pierre, normal to me,
well, you have experience.
Has changed so much into what is normal. It doesn't, like, I can't even answer that anymore.
Well, I think it's what the majority does.
Right. That's the norm. That's different than normal.
Exactly. Right. I agree. And I think it's kind of the norm.
Right. And that's how I explain, you know, I say, I don't talk normal. I talk, because normal implies abnormal.
Yes.
Right? The opposite of normal is abnormal. Whereas a norm means average. Most people fall within this norm. Then you have outliers, you know.
But it is interesting that you mentioned this, because the norm has changed. If you look in the 50s, the way a relationship was built was very, very close to what me and Catherine do right now, where you had a dominant, usually the man of the family.
Right.
Even if often the wife was like very, very in control too.
Mm-hmm.
And the relationship was based on this. Now, since the 70s and the 80s, we're talking about, we have this expression in French, l'homme rose. I don't know if you have something
like a sensitive man, or the man who helps around the house.
But you
why do they have to call him l'homme rose, as if to imply that, oh, he's pink, just like a girl? An homme rose is a guy who does half the work, basically, who does the cooking, who does the cleaning,
like a partner.
Exactly. So why do we have to give it a name? You know, almost makes no sense. But you're right. The whole norm has, you know, it has changed. And listen, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, would we be talking about this subject on the air?
No,
I don't think so. So that's part of it, too. 514-790-0800. Or you can text us at 514-800. We'd love to get your questions or your comments or anything else you want to share with us on kink tonight, on alternative sex, alternative practices, whatever that means to you. You tell us, what is alternative sex to you. I remember getting a text message from somebody telling me, how could I be talking about oral sex? It was it's disgusting. It's so taboo. And I shouldn't be talking about that. It's encouraging. And I'm thinking, wow, that's far off the norm for that person. Right?
Exactly.
So whereas if we look at the norm and how many people might practice oral sex, well, they would be out of the norm.
You're not
in the norm.
You're talking about
and your norm
yeah.
changes too, like even for yourself as a person. Mm-hmm. What you kind of do, it evolves over years.
Mm-hmm. Well, sure, our sexuality evolves over years.
Exactly.
Our tastes may evolve. It
will change. It's normal. Everything you do in life. I mean, I'm an amateur musician. The type of music I'm playing evolve.
Right. It's not always the same kind of music.
No, because you get bored.
Right. I paint. And I experiment with all kinds of different techniques and different types of painting. I'll do, you know, abstract one day, portraits another day.
Yeah.
But you just hit on why a lot of people like BDSM. Because especially if you've been with long term with a partner for years and years and years and years, it opens up the playing field, kind of adds to the repertoire.
Mm.
You know,
and you just said the word playing field, and it's playing. It really
yes.
is about playing. It's
yes,
a, it's a playroom.
It's having fun.
Right. Someone wants to know, is golden showers BDSM? Now, for some listeners, they may not know what a golden shower is.
You better.
So, oh, I better, eh?
Oh, well, I can. I can. That's
Catherine, you do it.
Sure. That okay. is where one person will urinate on another person.
Right.
And it can go from the extremes of drinking it to showering to all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you ever get asked to do that?
Certainly.
So it is part of BDSM.
It
practice.
Can be,
okay.
yes, because it's often considered a very submissive and a very dominant thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. or humiliation. You pee
or
on someone,
humiliating.
And some
yeah.
people enjoy
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Being peed on or stuff like this.
Yeah, that's a fairly common request.
Is it?
It's fairly common.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not anything that's a wow.
So that wouldn't be like, whoa, that's not normal.
No.
For
no.
you, right? That would be like, oh, that's common. Okay, that's typical.
Yeah, fairly. Now, if you're talking about play with feces, that's a whole different
what's
story.
What's it called? Scat play?
Scat play.
No, in my books, we call it coprophilia.
Yes.
Which
okay.
is a little
and
bit
that,
extreme.
And that actually... Is a lot more dangerous because urine is somewhat sterile.
Yeah, urine is sterile.
So it's a lot safer to mm-hmm. be doing these things with than smelly
feces
old
is,
nasty feces, which
bacteria.
Obviously isn't something that I like.
Ew.
I personally think it's very nasty, but you know.
So this is a request also?
Yes.
A request you do
been,
not give, but a request
yes,
nonetheless.
Certainly.
No kidding.
Yeah, yuck.
See, these are fetishes. See, in my book, I've never really looked at them as BDSM practices, but as fetish, as like paraphilias, because
they're extreme.
But they're not that extreme. You have to understand, you were talking about foot fetishes or something like this. It's the more and more people practice these things, the taboo seems to be disappearing. I'm not sure where it's healthy or not anymore because some could be too extreme, but it's just a way to have fun. It's just a way to expand your sexual pleasure.
So some people listening are thinking, wow, this world has really gone to what we've just been talking about. How extreme do we have to get to make normal, you know? And sometimes like this is the reaction of a lot of people. And this is, unfortunately, porn has had a big role to play in this because it has pushed the envelope and pushed the envelope and pushed the envelope that it has made so many things, besides being accessible, almost like commonplace. I'd have to say. And that's scary
to me. Well, the media. The media has done that.
Well, media. It's not just the media. It's more of the internet, more of accessibility to
yes.
things that we're not going to necessarily see on television or hear on the radio.
But some people don't realize that this is exactly... It. I mean, if I compare myself to the porn star, I'm a lousy lover. I mean, I cannot last as much as they can.
We can have that conversation.
You know?
Oh, I have that conversation all the time here. I don't even know if I want to get into that. That's a whole other thing.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito, the podcast. Hear the show live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD 800.
Alternative sex tonight on the program once a month. Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com join us here on the program to answer your questions about fetishes, about kink, what else? About
anything alternative.
Submission. Anything.
A lot of it overlaps. As we were saying off air there. You know, a lot of kinks and fetishes will be BDSM in some situations and not in another.
Right.
Giving oral sex could be very, very submissive in one situation and not so much in another.
Right.
You know, things like that.
Right. So within, for example, we were talking about the coprophilia or whatever. Sometimes that's engaged in privately, like without anybody else there.
Absolutely.
Or what have you, or just in fantasy or whatever. So a lot of fetishes are often in fantasy, not necessarily within the context of your the BDSM.
One of the problem we go through is a lot of people fantasize about what BDSM should, and here I'm putting this in between bracket, mm-hmm. should be. Mm-hmm. And when they actually try to do it, they realize that it's not that easy. It's not that beautiful like they dream, that there's technical stuff that they have to deal with.
You say that and it reminds me of conversations I've had with people who have fantasized their whole life of having threesomes and having, and then they get involved and realize, oh, I have to deal with people's emotions. I have to deal with my girlfriend wants another guy there. I don't want to touch his stuff. Kinds of things that come up that are completely not what the fantasy is, but it is reality. And the things you have to negotiate to get to even remotely what you want, people don't realize that that's all part of it. So, and the fantasy is often way better than the reality.
It's usually.
With subs, there's sometimes this thing of liking, not liking it. So when it's actually happening to them, they're probably not finding it that much that fun. Mm. But when they look back at it a couple of days later, it was the hottest thing ever happened.
They use it as fuel for fantasy.
That's what'll happen a lot of times.
Right.
I mean, because if you're being in bondage, I mean, it can be uncomfortable and things like this, which you don't think about when you're, you just think, oh, I'm all tied up and I'm helpless. But it's like, I'm tied up and my arm's cramping.
Right. So that's interesting. Then it's used for fodder.
Yes.
You know what? It reminds me of the foot fetishist that I once met who used to go to feed his fetish. He used to go to the shoe store, and he used to find a female person, and he used to say, I want to buy shoes for
my wife.
Would you, she's about your size, would you mind trying on the shoe? So she would try on the shoe, and he would say, oh, yeah, nah, okay. And then he'd leave, but then he would go and masturbate to that vision of that woman trying on the shoe. That's how we fed his fetish.
I heard of foot fetish actually trying to get jobs in shoe stores.
In shoe stores, sure. Well, it's the ultimate, right? You're helping. Yeah. I mean, isn't that's like what you see in the movies? Yeah, I think Sex and the City had that once. Here, let me help you with that shoe. No, but nobody does that now.
Well, it's a common fantasy. In fact, in our dungeon, we have one of those little, little stools that have the angled piece on it for your foot. We have one of them, and that sometimes could be a role play,
right?
Where I'm trying on different boots or things like that.
Right, it's like foot worshiping or something.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
That, right, there's something, and that's a very, I believe the foot is the most common fetishized non-sexual body part.
But it's often the boots and the shoes.
We were mentioning it
with the feet. So it's often not just
the actual
foot.
Inanimate object. It and then the foot inside that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot. It has to be,
But although we heard from, last night I heard from two people whose fetish was feet. Wasn't the boots, wasn't feet. The shoes. It was the actual, foot inside stockings and,
It could be the toe cleavage. That's when it's its own little separate thing there.
Toe cleavage?
Toe cleavage.
What's toe
is
cleavage?
When you put your foot in a shoe, like let's say in a dress pump.
Right.
Okay?
Oh, yeah.
You can see a little bit of the crack between two different toes, like a cleavage that would be between breasts.
And people get turned on by that?
Oh, my goodness. That's just the ultimate. In fact,
What I learn from you two here every single month, quite incredible.
Now, everybody has a little different take on it.
Okay.
But yes, no,
Toe cleavage.
Yes. You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito, the podcast. Hear the show live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD 800.
Alternative sex tonight on the program with Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com. If you have questions, give us a call, 514-790-0800 or 514-800 if you want to text in. So the whole schoolgirl outfit thing, I was asked that last night. Is it called a fetish to enjoy schoolgirl outfits, or is that just a role play kind of fetish? And they want to know, is it normal?
Well, role play, role play is BDSM often. Mm-hmm. As long as you're talking about actual adults here, and it's just like a role play of a schoolgirl outfit. I mean, they're short, they're kind of cute. They're they often have the bare midriff. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They're sexy. Also, schoolboy outfits will also be a fetish for some women.
Mm-hmm. But this does not imply that they're interested in young girls.
Mm-hmm. Certainly not.
Okay.
No.
I think that's important. That a lot of people kind of freak out over that because they think,
oh yeah, no.
They want to be with a teenager or a kid.
I just realized why the guitarist of AC/DC is wearing this now.
He's got a schoolboy outfit. Oh, well, there you go.
That's
because
right.
Catherine asked him to.
I must admit, I've always kind of liked that.
Somebody says toe cleavage, bear is better for me. That's from a true, foot fetishist.
Absolutely.
He says, just give me the foot. Give me the foot. You know?
But there's nothing wrong with that.
Then there's whole nails. They can, on the nails can be a big thing. If they're long, if they're...
Toenails?
That's right, toenails. So there's, in foot fetishes, mm-hmm. there'll be a big... area of things that are actually covered and what they specifically like. And one could be like the toe cleavage, one could be bare nails or certain color nails or things like this.
You learn a lot by being a dom, don't
yes, you?
You
do.
Well, we meet a lot of people, and this is where we learn, because once sometimes someone explained to us their own fetish or their own liking, something you go, oh. Ah, you understand what's happening.
Right. And how many years are you guys in this lifestyle or practicing this?
Well,
together for 13.
No, but you, how long have you been doing this?
Me?
Your whole life?
Yes, my whole adult life. And yes.
Wow.
We'll just go from adult on. I've definitely been doing it that long.
As long as you've been a sexual person, you have been into BDSM your whole life.
Okay. Absolutely.
That makes sense.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito, the podcast. Hear the show live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD 800.
Talking with Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com. And actually, we were just talking about, what's normal, and I'm working on a television show, which I hope will get off the ground. Not a TV show, but a documentary, which is about normal. What's normal in sexuality. So you guys will be on the program talking about this part of the normal part. But that's what's normal changes, and it changes, and it changes with
all
each
the time.
Generation, every, and even sooner than that. So
what was normal for me 20 years ago is just boring old stuff now. What's normal now was pretty...
See, that's interesting because you've been in it for a very long time, so...
But you evolve.
Right.
I mean, I'm a little embarrassed to say this, but as a young teenager, I was very homophobic. Now I'm bisexual, so,
right. Well,
so there you go.
In terms of... That's quite the switch. But
yes.
Again, that's being brought up a certain way, right?
I think
until
so.
Until you discover it on
exactly.
your own.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
You learn things. You were talking about things that people learn that which is false. And then you learn that you're wrong or it's false.
But there's also indoctrination, right? There's also the whole
Absolutely.
Religious stuff that you grow up with that you just assume, oh, that's normal. Okay. You don't question it
but,
until you're older.
Well, exactly. But, we know many, many people who have dungeons in their homes, in that they have dungeons. Nobody started off that way.
Right.
Nobody starts off and like the next day they go out and buy handcuffs and the next day they have a dungeon. It's a gradual
Unless
progression.
Unless your name is Christian Grey.
Yeah, know. Well, if you're a billionaire, I guess you can afford that,
yeah.
Right? I'll just have to meet all those, virgins graduating university.
But maybe a couple of years ago, the word dungeon, you saying the word dungeon people wouldn't know what you're talking about, really. But having everybody who's read 50 Shades of Grey, at least the women, they all know what a dungeon is because there's a dungeon in 50 Shades of Grey, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that
yeah.
has made it much more, you know, oh, you have a dungeon? Oh, cool.
Well, a lot
you
of people will call it the playroom.
Okay.
But that sounds a little like it's connected to children somehow to me, so I tend not to use that word.
Okay.
I heard but, the sex room because...
The sex course. Room, yeah. Are you guys doing the dungeon at the Salon de l'Amour this year? Do you know?
I don't think so.
I don't think so because we
it's political.
Politics.
Never mind. We won't go in there. Passion will have a booth there anyway. That
excellent.
It's in January. It's actually coming up really shortly.
Oh, we always come to see you.
Yeah, of course you will. You better. We actually broadcast live.
Oh,
from
neat.
There on Friday night. Yeah. So that's always a whole lot of fun. So yes, you will come by and say hello and.
Of course we will.
And, you know, say a few words to our listeners. All right, we got a text message. Frank says, what makes scat more dangerous? Just to repeat, if you just joined us, scat refers to play with poop, which is a fetish and which apparently not terribly uncommon in the fetish community. I don't know.
Well, it's actually still a little bit taboo even in the fetish community.
Okay.
It's... You know, they always say, you know, your kink is your kink and my kink is okay and your kink is okay and all of that. But, you know, if it's consenting, it's not something I certainly like or would want to be around.
But more dangerous than what is what
than
I want to know.
Than urine, I think.
But if
he's
it's definitely
about.
More dangerous than urine because it has bacteria, whereas urine is
exactly.
sterile.
Yep. Yes.
So you're not, you can drink somebody's urine and actually yes. it won't hurt you, believe
it's
it or not.
Nasty.
It's nasty, but it won't hurt you. Which is why they say if you're ever stuck on a desert island or what, not island, but in the desert, drink your urine, you know, if you need to drink. But whereas feces.
Yeah, it's a biohazard, it's basically. It's a biohazard. It's dangerous. You can get very sick from it.
Better wash your hands,
and,
man.
You know, not only when you wash, you have to wash like with a really good soap and make sure there's a good lather for quite a while. I think it's like 30, 40 seconds or something like that.
You're using the example of washing your hand after you do your business. Let's
right.
say.
Which doesn't touch your feces.
No,
if you wipe properly.
There could be
not.
Bacteria and you want to get rid of it because
of
it's dangerous because it's not good.
That's right.
You could have infection. You
That's
could have.
Right.
So this is why it's taboo. If someday somebody invents a pill that your feces becomes non-bacterial and okay to do whatever you want with it, okay, that will probably change. But right now
not
we're not there.
It's unlikely. That's unlikely
not
to happen.
Not me. But it's also an entire kink, just like the messiness of it, where some will use like chocolate pudding. Let's
yeah, some
say,
people replace
and
it
that
with chocolate.
Would be.
So that would be in the fantasy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That,
and so what they would actually do is they use sense. Like a chocolate pudding or something, but some of it is.
That then it's really role play. It's not really about.
Oh,
right. It's not
well,
about.
Yes.
Right.
But it's also they'll have a fetish for being messy.
Okay.
Or dirty.
Oh, okay. The fetish is being dirty.
Yeah. The fetish
okay, so,
is being
so
messy
mud
or dirty.
Or,
mud
right,
or
right.
yeah.
Okay,
exactly.
Okay, I get it.
There's
yeah.
there's a lot actually of video of scat, real scat out there.
I know. I know that coprophilia videos. I
I'm
know.
I'm going to say
it's
disgusting,
terrible.
But it's worse than that.
No, I've yeah, unfortunately,
yeah,
and everybody
yeah, just
knows
think there's
about.
There's no smell.
Yeah, when you're watching it. Oh, my God. Here's a text message. Her and I have talked about a threesome, and it would be a go, but she just can't get past the sharing me with another part. I understand, but what do you think?
I think it's up to you two, and these guys need to work it out and negotiate. Because if, you know...
It could be the end of that relationship,
absolutely.
By the way.
Yes.
Right.
Absolutely. And you know what, too, is... What if the two women hit it off? You might have to, you know, people think, oh, yeah, that'd just be fine. I'd love to watch that. Would you really? But what happens if she falls in love with the other woman? This has happened.
Right. What if she discovers she likes women better than you?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then what? What will you do? How will you feel? Because it's no longer your fantasy at that point.
But
the emotions get involved at that
what
point.
What if she feels different about you after?
Mm-hmm. Which is something you cannot control.
Nope.
Right? And what if she feels... Once she sees sharing you, like once she sees you with someone else, is that going to be an image in her brain that she can't get out that is now going to eat away at her?
affect
with
the
jealousy,
yeah.
And then affect the relationship, and then question herself and say, was she better than me? You liked her better than me. Like, I mean, all kinds of, you know, you can't do this if there's insecurities, jealousies, or even if you're remotely think you won't be able to handle it, you shouldn't do it.
This is,
in my opinion,
this is a topic that we have to deal from time to time with the website. People write to us saying a dominant wants to bring, let's say, another submissive in the relationship. So he plays with two submissive, but the old or the first submissive doesn't like it and create some situations like jealousy or something like this. So you have to negotiate. You have to talk.
Absolutely. Let's go to Liz. Hi, Liz. Welcome to the show.
Hi there.
Hi.
My contribution to the fetish of poo is the fact that many years ago, I was a maid.
Oh.
And I worked for a major hotel downtown.
Okay.
And I've seen everything, right?
Right. I'm sure you have.
You could say stories.
Well, unfortunately, I saw a room that had been used for, let's say, the bowel fetish, as you call it.
Really?
Wow.
And it was horrific.
Oh, my.
Oh,
that's awful.
Yeah.
As the person who has to clean that, I think I would have quit right then and there.
I did ask for assistance, but I can tell you it wasn't pleasant.
Oh, that's awful.
It's also a biohazard.
Yeah, it is a biohazard.
It's
I can only imagine.
That's dangerous. You need like a hazmat suit,
and
for
God's
sake.
It's bad for your health when you clean this.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, but in those days, they didn't consider it a biohazard. They just considered it a dirty room.
Right,
exactly.
Right. They didn't even look at it as a fetish. Now you realize, that's what it was.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito, the podcast. Hear the show live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD 800.
Alternative Sex tonight on the program. Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com are here, and they are here to answer your questions about fetishes, alternative sex practices. Any questions you have, 514-800 if you want to text in. Feel free to call in, too, at 514-790-0800. So a couple of questions and stuff. Do things get boring in BDSM? And when they do go stale, how do you guys manage to make things exciting again? Do you ever go on, like, BDSM diets or something of the sort? Like, do you ever eliminate it from your life for a while or your repertoire?
Yes, we go on vacation to Walt Disney World.
That's as far away as you can get from BDSM.
And we really do. We have friends of ours. It's really funny because they'll go to, like, there's certain resorts in, like, Cuba or places like that. Mm-hmm. They'll have a week or two where the whole resort is all kinky people.
No way.
Yes.
Well, of course.
There's a kinky
and,
fest.
There's a kinky boat in Europe.
Yep.
That
I know they do this for the swingers community. I didn't realize they did it for the kink community.
They do. And it's some of them, these places can be quite extreme. Right, some not, and some very.
Huh,
but that's the last place I want to go on vacation. Like I just want to get away from everything.
Right,
because BDSM is everyday life. If it's
okay.
Sorry, as far as it getting boring, that's one of the reasons I do BDSM, is because it covers so many different things. I might do Chinese cupping one day, or I might do
what's that?
it's a form of fire play where think of like you have like a little glass bowl and then cut out the end. Part of it cut out the end. And it's glass.
Yes.
And you heat it with fire and you put it on somebody's skin really fast and it sucks the skin up.
Oh, okay.
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 And it's actually, it's...
It's not hot on the person, is it?
Yes.
Oh, it is?
Okay. But it's...
It doesn't burn them, does it?
No, we don't.
No.
Okay. No.
It's the hot air that's contracting in the ball.
Right.
That's pulling the skin up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually, goes back to Chinese medicine, Asian medicine. And it's to do with the life energy and the chi, which is your energy flow, and to help draw it for different places. But it can also be used for, like, sexy things, too. And, like, for instance, there might be that. Or, you know, it might be some kind of a bondage another day, or maybe a foot service.
So it's
or
all the different things that you do that keeps it interesting.
Yeah,
for
so it's
you.
Not like you're just doing one thing. It's not if you do bondage, it's not like you're just throwing them in chains every day. You know, maybe one day it's rope, or one day it's saran, or it's a different kind of chain, or it's
Or you sometimes you just order them to put their hand behind their back and they cannot move them. Mm-hmm. And then you tell them to do whatever you feel like, but they have to keep their hand behind their back.
And I just want to, like, you know, specify, like, this is all voluntary, by the way. Yes. Just so everybody knows, this is all consensual. And yes, some people want to be told what to do in these things.
For some people, it's a need.
Sorry, it's not only voluntary, they beg for it.
That's funny. Someone wants to know, are there any illegal sex acts in Canada?
Oh.
Swingers or forms of BDSM, naturally not talking about the underage stuff. So we're not talking about child porn or pedophilia. Anything illegal that you know of?
Most of the sex acts are illegal if you look at the old laws. Sodomy still exists, anal sex.
It's in the law book still, hasn't been removed, I think.
No,
right?
I think some city it's illegal to kiss your partner.
You know what? You're right. I remember
I think you can still rape your wife too.
I mean, these are all ridiculous exactly. laws that nobody pays attention to, of course, that nobody's ever gonna, you know, do any. But no, there. I don't think there's anything between two consenting adults is illegal, except for bestiality. Well, bestiality is not a consenting adult.
I couldn't agree more.
So that is against the law.
And when you say consenting adults, you're not just talking the age of consent. You're also talking the mentality.
Right.
It has to be someone who is able to mentally give consent.
Understand what's happening.
And which means that it has to be sober consent.
That is
against the law. If you are not sober, you cannot give consent. And that is against the law. So to have sex with someone who is not able to consent to sex, whether by alcohol or any other reason, is against the law.
Yeah.
So that would, any illegal, like that would be illegal, believe it or not. And a lot of people are like, what?
But the thing though is, things must be done behind closed door. If somebody do something publicly...
That's another thing. I mean, right, public sex is illegal. Right, public sex is illegal.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito, the podcast. Hear the show live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD 800.
Into the home stretch, talking about alternative sexuality once a month at the beginning of every month. We have Pierre and Catherine of BDSM Circle. They join us in studio to discuss alternative sexuality, BDSM practices, kinky sex. They were actually featured on the show Kink, if anybody remembers that.
That's 10 years ago.
I know, but people, it was kept being played over and over again. And it was such a shocking show at the time, 10 years ago. Like, it was so explicit in terms of what the... I know, maybe not for you it wasn't, but for the average person it was. It was like, whoa, what are these people doing?
That's when everybody thought we were subservient.
What?
Everybody thought we were subversive.
Subversive, yeah. Yes, well, there's something about
so
it.
So normal. Oh my gosh.
But I know. Well, that's the problem. I mean, it's not the problem, but that's it exactly. Just a couple more text messages. I don't see the appeal of a threesome. Most guys can't properly please one woman. Why the rush to disappoint two?
Well, who says it's always have to be two women, not two men?
Yeah, that's true too. Someone else says, ooh, this is a heavy duty. 50 years ago, homosexuality was seen as bad. Today it's the norm. Just a matter of time. Mark my words, so will pedophilia. It's just human nature. We get bored very fast. So. And I disagree with that comment.
No.
I disagree very much with that comment as
well. I think it's an instinct to protect their children. And I think it's a totally different
thing.
I think it's unfair, and
you just do not put those two in the same category.
Nope.
And it's not that it's the norm, by the way. It's just that we know so much more about it. It's acceptable. Exactly. It's not the norm, but it is acceptable. Thank you so much, guys, for being on the program.
Always
so if people want to get in touch with you, bdsmcircle.com.
Yep.
Listen to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD and CJAD.com.